Catching you up on local news, got to begin on campus. We got word earlier this afternoon from UNC Chancellor Kevin Guskowitz and Provost Bob Bluen, updates to the schedule for UNC's upcoming spring semester. Owing to COVID-19, changes still in the works. Announced today by Guskowitz and Bluen, the spring semester will be pushed back by 2 weeks. It'll start 2 weeks later than originally scheduled. That's on Tuesday, May 19th. There will not be a spring break this year, and commencement and the end of the semester will be 1 week later than originally scheduled. So the spring commencement ceremony typically takes place on Mother's Day. This coming year, it'll actually be the week after Mother's Day, Sunday, May 16th. Still no official word yet whether students will be allowed back on campus for in-person classes in the spring semester. That decision is still being discussed, but there are plans in the works to potentially allow students back on campus. That does include housing as well. Daily Tar Heel reporting this week that Carolina Housing's current plan is to offer only single rooms for the spring. That, of course, if students are allowed back at all, that's still very much up in the air. We'll keep following that, but the change in schedule announced earlier today by Guskowitz and Bluen. Elsewhere on campus, scientists are continuing to work on new ways to fight COVID-19, including therapeutic treatments as well as vaccines. 97.9 The Hill's Al Karras spoke with one UNC infectious disease expert who's working on some pretty significant research right here in Chapel Hill.
Dr. David Wohl is a professor of medicine at UNC and an infectious disease expert. He leads the Respiratory Diagnostic Center at UNC's Medical Center, testing hundreds of patients a day for COVID-19. Wohl is also the principal investigator of a study evaluating several promising treatments for the coronavirus. In light of President Trump's COVID-19 diagnosis and subsequent treatment plan, Wohl said the newfound attention regarding therapeutic treatments is well-deserved. He said while a lot of time has been well spent thinking about vaccines, having the conversation include treatment is going to be incredibly important moving forward, especially as new experimental drugs continue to make headlines. While being treated at Walter Reed Medical Center, Wohl said Trump has been treated with a combination of three different therapeutics.
One is remdesivir. It's an antiviral drug. It's administered intravenously for 5 days. We use this all the time. It's standard of care here and across the U.S. In addition, he got dexamethasone, and dexamethasone is reserved for some of the sickest patients. Those are individuals who we really feel can benefit from an anti-inflammatory drug, because dexamethasone has been around for a very long time, since the 50s, and calms down the immune system's response to COVID-19.
Both of these therapeutics are readily available to the public at established medical facilities, including at UNC. However, Wohl said the third therapeutic that the president has received is still in its experimental phases and is scarcely available to the public outside of controlled clinical trials.
The experimental therapy that the president received is the Regeneron cocktail of monoclonal antibodies. So this is really important because this is a class of drugs. It's not just one particular agent. And so monoclonal antibodies are copies of antibodies that survivors of an infection have made and that in the lab look really good at neutralizing the pathogen.
Wohl said some COVID survivors make great antibodies against the virus. In these cases, the survivor's antibodies are copied in labs like Regeneron Pharmaceuticals and administered to the infected.
So there's two different antibodies in the cocktail that the president received from Regeneron. They both target different parts of the same protein on the virus surface that allows the virus to enter into cells.
While Trump's diagnosis has shined a light on the mainstream and experimental therapeutics currently available, Wohl said the president's language regarding his COVID-19 experience is detrimental to the nation's public health.
The president got an extraordinary kitchen sink of therapeutics, and we don't know which ones worked or if they worked completely, but we do know that a kitchen sink approach was taken to this and that he was very sick. You know, anyone who's doubting that this is real, we should think about how do we get you into our ICUs to see people hooked up to breathing machines? How do we show you people who care is being withdrawn because there's nothing else to do and then they die?
Early Friday morning, Trump had announced that he and the First Lady had tested positive for the coronavirus, whereas he was taken to the Walter Reed Medical Center Friday evening. Nearly 72 hours after he first arrived as a patient, Trump departed Walter Reed, tweeting that he was feeling great and telling his followers, "Don't be afraid of COVID." As of Tuesday, October 6, the North Carolina Department of Health and Human Services reported that North Carolina alone had over 221,000 positive cases of COVID-19. This included more than 1,500 new cases since the day prior. Currently, there are over 1,000 people hospitalized in the state. Wohl said, "These current trends amid the state and nation's reopening are not headed in the right direction."
All of us are concerned about the trends. You have to really be in denial not to be concerned about where we are, not only in our state, but in our country, looking at the number of cases that we're still seeing. So we're still seeing people die, as you know, and I see it, you know, every time I'm working in the hospital in the intensive care unit.
To learn more about COVID-19, the number of cases in our community, and to find out how you can help, visit chapelboro.com. For 97.9 The Hill, I'm Elle Karras.
Staying on campus, UNC's Adams School of Dentistry yesterday offered free dental exams as part of an annual event called DIA Day, honoring two students who were killed 5 years ago. 97.9 The Hill's Dakota Moyer was there.
To honor its late students, Dia Barakat and Yusor Abu Salah, the UNC Adams School of Dentistry gathers every year for a day of service to the local community. Wednesday was the sixth annual DIA Day held by the school, which was established in the wake of their deaths. The acronym stands for Directing Efforts and Honoring Dia and Yusor, and the effort has seen students participate in various service activities like trail cleanups, working on food pantries, and more. This year, the School of Dentistry offered free dental care, including exams, x-rays, extractions, sealants, fluoride, and fillings, to patients who are financially challenged. Scott DeRossi, the dean of the School of Dentistry, said the idea for DIA Day was kickstarted by the students within the program.
So when Dia and Yusor lost their lives in February in 2015, the students wanted to do something that really was special and honor their lives and honor something that was really important to them, which was giving back to the community. And they arranged the very first DIA Day that fall, and we've been continuing that tradition ever since.
The ongoing COVID-19 pandemic made this year's DIA Day different than any before. While normally only dentists would be wearing masks at the School of Dentistry, Wednesday's event saw everyone masked up to follow health and safety guidelines. Patients were screened and had their temperatures checked upon arrival. Dental exams were conducted at every other station, ensuring that patients, students, and instructors were socially distant. Curtis Philippi, a fourth-year dental student volunteering on Wednesday, said students and instructors were taking precautions by wearing N95 masks, which the Center for Disease Control says filters out at least 95% of airborne particles.
So it's been a change of pace, but it's one that we've all gotten used to, and changes that we're glad we can accommodate so that we can still see patients and learn and do everything that we're here to do.
Jackie Smith, the lead patient care coordinator for the Comprehensive Oral Health Division, said she found it inspiring to witness students continuing their commitment to service amid the pandemic.
So it's really awesome because one of our mission statements for Carolina Dentistry and the UNC School of Dentistry is service, and that's one of our missions in giving back to the community. So we really strive on that and teach that to our students. So it's awesome to see the students giving back, and it shows them community service and how to give back and use their, you know, dental expertise to make a difference.
DeRossi said the community service behind DIA Day emphasizes the core values of the School of Dentistry.
Well, commitment to service and passionately serving is really our core value as a dental school. And what's really special about this is we took, and our students took, something that was so senseless and so tragic and turned it into something that has been so impactful and so special. And so that makes our dental school community immensely proud.
Organizers said they hoped to serve at least 120 patients at Wednesday's free clinic, but still accepted walk-in exams throughout the day. For 97.9 The Hill, I'm Dakota Moyer.
Turning to state news, Democratic U.S. Senate candidate Cal Cunningham apologized again last night following revelations about an extramarital affair earlier this year. Still no indication what, if any, effect the news will have on the 2020 election, where Cunningham had a slight polling lead on incumbent Republican Senator Tom Tillis. As you heard from Tom Jensen of Public Policy Polling last hour, they did a survey following the revelations. No change in the race. Many North Carolinians have already cast their ballots. CBS 17 reports state election officials say about 30% of votes are being cast by mail this year. That's up from about 4-5% in a typical election. Speaking of absentee ballots, still no final decision yet on the legal fight over a new rule that would make it easier for voters to fix any mistakes they make on their ballot. U.S. District Judge William Osteen is hearing more arguments in that case today. He says his plan is to issue a written ruling early next week, and both sides are wanting one quick. Nearly 400,000 absentee ballots have already been accepted, but then about 11,000 have been set aside because of various issues or deficiencies. And until that legal fight is resolved, election officials are not doing anything with those ballots. Reminder that you've got until October 27th to request an absentee ballot if you're planning to vote that way. But as always, election officials urging you to get that request in as soon as possible in order to address and account for any potential delays with the post office. If you want to vote on election day, you've got to be registered to vote by tomorrow. Tomorrow the 9th is the deadline. But if you miss that deadline, you can still register and vote on the same day during the early voting period, which begins in a week, October 15th, next week Thursday, and runs through Halloween. One more bit of election news. Governor Roy Cooper has appointed Republican Stacey Eggers to the North Carolina Board of Elections. He will fill a vacancy that will not be filled by Carr McLam. Cooper appointed McLam to fill that vacancy earlier this week, but then rescinded that appointment following allegations of domestic abuse, Eggers filling the seat instead of McLam. Of course, the increase in absentee voting I mentioned is due to concerns over COVID-19. New numbers suggest not great trends for North Carolina, at least in the last couple of days. North Carolina saw more than 2,400 new cases reported yesterday. That's the third highest single-day total since the pandemic began. 1,051 North Carolinians are now in the hospital with the virus. That's another slight increase from the day before.